In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. We hear the parable today about the wedding feast. And there's a lot of detail in this parable. But like I talked about last week, I'm not really interested in what the bad guys do. I'm not concerned really so much about what the ones who don't have salvation do. I want to do what the ones that do have salvation do. So I want to learn from their example. And there is an example, not in the parable itself, but in the epistle. And they kind of tie together. And as a priest, I've noticed a big problem. People often don't feel God. And the reason we don't feel God is because of our sins. God is here. God is with us. And yet, if we don't feel him, it is because there's something wrong in us. There's a barrier in us. That's because most people don't really, in the way they live their life, understand what the real purpose of their life is. We're trained to think in legalistic ways. But Christianity is not legalism. Christianity is, well, here we have Monster there. What's he going to learn from his parents? They're going to teach him. He's going to be good sometimes. He's going to be bad sometimes. They're always going to love him. He's always going to know he's loved. But he's also going to know sometimes he's in trouble and he needs to do better. Not because of a legal requirement that you won't be my son if you don't act a certain way, but because of love. And because of that love, that will be transmitted to Noah, and he will learn to love. He'll learn to be, as I tell his parents when he's acting up, he's just learning to be a human right now. He's learning to be a human being. That's what's happening with all the children, and that's what's happening with us. We're learning to be human beings, real human beings, not just the appearance of a human being, but human throughout, as Jesus Christ is human throughout, perfectly human. And he is, of course, the standard by which we measure ourselves. So let's go over the parable, just kind of glossing over it, because as far as the farm and the merchandise and all that, they have meanings. But like I said, that's what the people who don't have salvation were concerned about. We shouldn't be concerned about such things. But I will mention that the Kingdom of Heaven parables are quite profound. There's a lot of them. And you should read them and learn that they are about how you act both in the Kingdom of Heaven and as you are entering the Kingdom of Heaven, which is now. We're in and entering. We're doing both. Perhaps that doesn't make sense grammatically, but we are doing both. We are in the Kingdom of Heaven, but we are also entering the Kingdom of Heaven because the Kingdom of Heaven has not come to us in its fullness yet. And yet the Kingdom of Heaven is within us. But because of our sins, because of our ignorance, because of our distractions, because of our just human silliness, stupidity, we don't feel the Kingdom of Heaven fully. The difference between us and the saints, by the way, is just that they felt the Kingdom of Heaven fully. But that was because of how they acted. They had great zeal to pray, to forgive, to humble themselves. And in doing so, their heart was opened so that they could see the Kingdom of Heaven. It's not that God gives more of himself to some other people. It's just that we can understand him better when we are struggling for virtue. So the Kingdom of Heaven is like unto a certain king. And of course the king is God, or really the Trinity, but the king who makes a marriage for his son. And so he sends forth servants, and he tells them the wedding feast is ready, and they all just say no, they don't want to go because they've got other things that they're doing. So he sends people into the byways, his slaves, into the byways and the highways of the city, and he comes, ask everybody to come. Of course, those would be the poor and the halt and the lame and the sinners and the righteous. He would just, everybody, just gather them all up and come. Now, there was a tradition in that day that when a rich person would give a wedding feast, he would supply a garment for the people so that everybody would be clean and would be nice looking. So everybody would have a wedding garment, a white wedding garment. And they would sit at a table and eat a delicious feast after the wedding and of dancing and wine and happiness, but they would be in their wedding garments. So the king comes and he's seeing his guests. And there's one person who doesn't have a wedding garment. Let's focus on this person. Not really what he does, because what he does is terrible. but how you cannot be this person is what we should focus on. So the man doesn't have a wedding garment, which was issued when they walked in the door, which means he either put it on to get through the door and then took it off, or perhaps he was handed it when he was at table and he just discarded it as something that's not worthy of his attention. And he was put to silence. He had no explanation for himself. So he was bound hand and foot, which symbolizes that when we are enslaved to sin, we can't do anything. We are bound hand and foot. So how can we escape being this man? The epistle tells us this. It has this wonderful term, the earnest of the Spirit. He says, St. Paul has said to us, he has sealed us, God has sealed us, and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. It's a beautiful image. It's a very soothing image, a comforting image, but it's also an image that you must work for. You must work to have this earnest of the Spirit in your heart. And I would submit to you that when we lose track of the Spirit, when we lose track of spiritual things, then we lose this earnest, either partially or entirely, and we become distracted by the world, and we don't feel God. And many of you have told me, and I have heard it many other times in many other places, how you're not feeling God, feeling anything when you pray. And to be honest with you, if you look in your heart, you'll see that there's something that is really a stone in it. There's anger, or there's lust, or there's something in your heart. Everybody has different things. Maybe you have a bunch of stones in your heart, and they are blocking you from feeling this earnest of the Spirit. Because the earnest of the Spirit is something light and beautiful. It's not heavy. How many of us, though, feel very heavy in our daily lives? We feel a heaviness upon us, as if there is a weight upon our shoulders. I feel that, but I shouldn't feel it. I feel it because of my sins, and you feel it because of your sins too. Even in the midst of difficulties, we should not feel this immense heaviness, because God is not heavy. God makes the soul feel light, like a bird that can fly, like an eagle that can mount up. We shouldn't feel heavy. So if we feel a heaviness because of the burdens of our day and of our life circumstances, we can be sure that we have something blocking this earnest of the Spirit. We must cultivate this earnest of the Spirit. And of course, you do it in ways that you know. We know them, but we don't always do them. Primarily, you must forgive and you must love. And you must flagrantly forgive and flagrantly love. And you must love the unlovely and forgive those that do something that doesn't seem forgivable. And forgive those who don't even react to your forgiving them. This is the greatest way to cultivate the earnest of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's other things as well. I'm amazed. It's like he drops everyone. There are other things, of course, you can be doing, and you should be doing all of them, you know. Fasting really helps because it opens up the heart. The church services, to me, are just an incredible, beautiful abyss in which I just immerse myself. Last night, I'll tell you what, I felt burdened. I shouldn't have felt burdened, but I did. I heard confessions way into the vigil. So I didn't hear it. I heard the last 10 minutes of vigil. And so I missed the entire canon. But it's my practice, whether I am in vigil for the canon or not, that I read the entire canon at home as part of my preparation for communion. Because it's a whole lot easier when I read it at home to really understand it, to really take it in. I'm always have a pencil with me and putting three dots by things that really touch me. Sometimes the page is just filled with dots. And so I read the canon to the Holy Spirit, or to the Holy Trinity, excuse me, that's for nocturnes, for midnight office. I have all of them. I also read the three canons that are in matins. So profoundly beautiful, so amazing. And sometimes when I read these things, I wonder, why is it that I am upset about things? Why is it that I get despondent about something? Why is it that I feel so burdened? right in front of me is God's love, and His love is light and beautiful, and it's an earnest that makes us aware of His love. Of course, you know, I hope you know what an earnest is. We have the term earnest money, right? And that's basically where you're proving to somebody that you're really serious about a purchase. Well, earnest is like that, except much more than that. An earnest is that we know beyond a doubt, certainly, that God is with us and is within us and is changing us and will love us no matter what we do. That earnest becomes greater in us if we open our heart more to God. That's why it's so critically important to love your brother and to love your enemy, to love the unlovely, to pray for people, to have a commemoration list. That's why I harp on it so often. I tell you, it's so often, because it's critically important to love people by praying for them. It's critically important, and it's hard. I can tell you honestly, there are days that it's just very hard for me to get through my prayer list, and it seems kind of mechanical. But I do it, even if it seems mechanical, because that's kind of cumulative. When you pray for people, there's a cumulative grace that occurs, both for you and for them. So this is critically important, to cultivate the earnest of the Holy Spirit so we're not like this person who took off the wedding garment. And of course, taking off the wedding garment is taking off virtue. We were born for virtue. We were born for goodness. We were born for perfection. So we might as well be doing some of it now. Get as much of it done as you can now. The completion of the perfection of your body and soul will be in the next age. But if you wait until then, because of some kind of legalistic idea that because you're Orthodox or because you're baptized or something else, that you'll be saved, you'll lose that earnest. And you'll lose that capability of knowing God and believing Him and feeling Him. So my prayer for you many times is that you would have, not particularly do I pray that you have the earnest of the Holy Spirit, but I pray that you would know God by the Holy Spirit. That's a very typical prayer for me to pray for all of you. We must know God by the Holy Spirit. And we must be, to mention Noah again, we must be like a boy, like a little girl, like a child who reacts to the love of his or her parents. Not always good, sometimes bad, but always sure that his parents love him and he feels that love, and that love increases in his heart until he becomes a real full human being. That's what we're doing too. May God bless you and help you in all things. Amen.